Chapter 7. When it happened, even Cool paused in his rampage. He felt the storm wind tear past and saw the red flames of Khorne extinguished. The gate's portal blew apart, and the besieging warriors were driven from its edge, replaced just moments later by a whole new army. 10 times the number he had faced just a moment before, with more arriving all the time. He gazed out at their sheer perfection. They were arrayed just as the others, in a shimmering display of gold and cobalt, each of them bearing the hammer sigil on their peerless armor plate. If they had been a formidable foe before, they were now truly daunting, a test for the greatest of all the realms. At that, Khorgos Khul let slip a harsh laugh of pure pleasure. The blood god had blessed him beyond measure. The long years of boredom and futility were forgotten in an instant, replaced by the fervor that only came from mortal danger. His host felt likewise, and their war cries reached a new pitch of feverish intensity. This is what they lived for. This was the glorious gift of the one who sat on the brass throne. No worthy enemy could blunt their fury, for their only fear was to be surrounded by weakness and decay. The return of the Celestial Legions was as welcome to his kind as the return of a great and noble ally, for it presaged nothing but eternal combat, the one thing that victory had deprived them of. For all that, Khul quickly saw that the conquest of the gate was doomed now. The lightning-chased legions were swiftly reinforcing it, driving Skullbrand's forces back down the slope and out onto the plains. The greater prize still remained, though. The Drakoth rider yet lived, and was reaping a bloody sway through all that stood before him. There was no sign of Vech, and the Khorgorath was long gone. Other mighty beasts of the Horde were being assailed by whole companies of celestial knights, and the shape of the entire battle now hung in the balance. It was only as Khul watched the helm-crested captain fight his way into the heart of the Horde that the last of his long-discarded memories came rushing back. The Direbrands. That was what they had been called. The last of the great peoples to resist. The ones he had fought for a generation to subdue. Their chief's name had been Blackfist, his very hands charred by the fires of battle, but still able to carry the warhammer that had ever been his weapon. But back then, just when Khul had thought that combat would at last be joined, the chance had been ripped away from him, lost in a snarl and a snap of lightning. He had raged beyond all reason at the loss, and his fury had lasted for a whole year before slipping into uneasy slumber. Even the gift of Grizzlemore, given to him in recognition of the slaughter of Azir's last free people, had not compensated, and the Realm of Fire had suffered grievously under his wrath. Vendel Blackfist. The more he watched, the more certain he became. Even if all else were cast into the fires of defeat, this was the task for which he had been sent to this place, to take the final Direbrand skull and place it atop the Red Pyramid. Such a sacrifice would guarantee his passage into ever-living service to the Blood God, from whence he would lead the forces of ruin into war across the plains of eternity.
"Blood for the Blood God!"
Khul thundered, throwing his arms wide and goading those about him into a frothing madness.
"Skulls for his throne!"
His horde did not waver. Not one of them turned to flee, for the Blood Warriors fed on slaughter as a lesser breed gorged on meats. The sight of the swelling ranks of golden warriors was like a drug, and they charged back into the grinder of battle with wild-eyed ecstasy on their scarred faces. Khul let them go. He gave Skullbrand his head, and expended no energy seeking Vech. Only one task remained for him, the one that he had been yearning for since the end of the ancient wars and the coming of the long victory.
The last of the Direbrands, he growled, striding out with Grizzlemore at his side. By the god who gives me strength, how I have longed for this day to come.
Vec watched the arrival of the legions of Azir, and his battle frenzy turned to blackest rage. More clearly than any other, he saw the certain doom of the battle across the plains, and he howled his disbelief into the storm. The blood warriors about him fell back, their aggression blunted at last by the advance of the lightning-born. Vec roared back at the horde, grabbing for their iron collars as they surged past him, ready to hurl them back into the fray. But the numbers were too great. A battle had a momentum to it, a rhythm like the tides, and the swell had been turned. Skuldrak lumbered away, wailing still as the last flames of Azir consumed its flesh. Vec let it go, turning his flails instead on the mortals within range. Back! He screamed. Back! His whips cracked, snapping like loosed serpents, wrapping around the necks of the craven. Two of those closest to him lost their heads as the coils pulled tight, and others had their flesh lacerated. Hot blood splattered across Vec's armor, spurring him further. He clambered up to higher ground, reaching an outcrop of black rock standing tall amid the boiling hordes. He screamed all the while, his scarred face running with spittle and his eyes blazing.
Stand fast, spineless filth!
He bellowed, hurling the barbed scourge around him in wide arcs.
Recover your fury! Recover your rage!
It should have been impossible for one man, no matter how mighty, to stem that gathering rout. But dread of the Bloodstoker had been inculcated into every fighter of the Gortide since the earliest days of the realm's corruption. Those that did not die under the agonizing lashes were stung back into the only emotion left to them. Rage. The first one halted in his charge, a lumbering champion with severed hands clanking from chain lengths about his neck. He turned, roaring in pain, before setting off back towards the oncoming enemy. Vec's whip slashed around again. Four more blood warriors remembered their battle lust, then eight, then a whole company.
Tear them apart!
Raved Vec, driving them back, his arms pumping, his instruments of pain biting in a whirl of black-edged steel.
Cut them limb from limb and bathe in the blood that flows. Bring me skulls enough to rival Kul's own. Blood! Blood for the Blood God!
He marched back down from the outcrop, laying about him with every stride. Roars greeted him, the bestial recognition of a whole army. The rot had been stemmed, and their kernel of defiance rekindled. They came with him now, chanting death curses again, reveling in the wheels that scored their angry faces and blood-raw backs. Vec drove them hard, hunting for any more that dared to pull clear from the field. The fiercest fighting was ahead of him, sundered by a sea of bodies. He had let the Beast Rider best him, drive off his Khorgorath, and that insult could not be borne.
Follow me!
He roared, goading his warriors into a charge.
The one who rides the beast! Kill him first, then kill them all!
Vandas fought with the strength of a man renewed. With the breaking of the portal, a weight lifted from his arms, and Heldensen flew once more with the first vigour of the charge. His Drakoth pounced, catching blood warriors under his claws and shredding them to ribbons. The liberators around him pressed the advantage, bolstered now by new warriors arriving at their backs. The horde of the enemy still outnumbered them, but the gap had closed, and now the Eternal's greater strength and skill was beginning to tell. All of them knew that this was just the first of many gates that would be opened. The God King himself had closed them, right at the end of the Age of Darkness when the realms were overrun. It had been his final act before the ways of the void were denied, and after that, only the celestial realm had been preserved intact. Just as the last hope was failing, He had extended his reach into the heart of the losing battles. Those who fought on, even as their deaths were assured, were taken, pulled clear of the killing fields, and dragged through the fast-closing portals. After that, isolated from the realms amid the spires of Sigmaron, came the agony of the transformation, the long change in which cleansing fire stripped the old life from them and gave them immortality in its stead. They were augmented, made stronger and faster than before. They were given the great warhammers to bear, and gifted armor of Sigmarite, cast in the purest shade of gold. The reforging had been accomplished, and legions of the Stormcast Eternals created. All this had been done in the knowledge that one day, when enough strength had been assembled, they would each go back. The ways would be made straight again, and the arch through the abyss would be restored. To have failed here in the realm of fire would have set all that in ruins. The fallen gods would have redoubled their efforts, building new armies of demons and the corrupted, accelerating their design to plunge every land into the one realm of pure chaos before any hope of reconquest could be attempted. The war ahead would be long, surely longer and more painful than any that had come before, but at least that first step had been taken. Vandus knew that other assaults were being launched even now, each across a different portal of the sundered kingdoms. One by one, the God King's armies were hammering at the closed doors, and one by one, they would all be breached. The knowledge of that gave him joy of a kind he had not experienced before, not even in the bliss of the celestial realm itself. And yet, even as he slew with abandon, pushing the enemy before him in a welter of cracked bone and broken armor, that joy was tempered by a greater realization. The face that he still bore in his dreams, the one that had never left him, even amid the golden spires of Sigmar's city, was long gone. Only on his return to the realm of fire did he truly understand how many years had passed, and how far sundered he was from the lives of all he had known. There would be no going back to the world he had once striven to save, for it was utterly destroyed, replaced by a living hell of endless violence. As his warhammer scythed around him, bringing destruction to all that stood in its path, Vandus saw that this victory would not give him what he had yearned for. He was conquering for others, those who would come afterwards to repopulate these scoured lands. But not for himself. The Diabrands were gone. Vendel Blackfist was gone. All that remained was the thing he had been made into, the Lord Celestant, the instrument of the God King's will.
"For Sigma!"
he thundered, wrenching his thoughts back to those of war.
"For the Celestial Throne!"
And yet, even on the cusp of his great triumph, the war cry was more angry than triumphant, and a hollow ring had entered into the words of glory. Ionis led the charge down from the gate and onto the plain below. All the momentum was with his forces now, and the Blood Warriors were crushed beneath the armored boots of his retinue. Storm spirits whined and swooped overhead, forming a protective shield above them. The Retributors were irresistible, striding with resolute confidence towards their brothers in Vandus's column. Once the two flanks of the Legion joined up, the core would be unbreakable. Even as he advanced south, though, Ionis remained vigilant for a reversal of fortunes. This was a dangerous time, and the enemy remained powerful. The Icon-Bearer was still alive, and the Horde fought on amid the driving rain.
"Do not give in to pride,"
he warned those about him, striving to keep them focused.
"Those whom the Fates raise up, they may also cast down. Remain wary. Look to your brothers."
As if to prove the truth of his words, a mighty bellowing broke out from the lower reaches of the Delta, far beyond where any Eternal had yet penetrated. Something huge was barreling up from the depths, roaring in berserk fury. Blood Warriors were already running from it, unable to restrain whatever force had been unleashed within their midst. Ionis let his staff blaze with pearl-grey illumination, lighting up the sea of warriors before them and exposing the source of the booming war cries. A second Korgoroth had been loosed against them, and it was charging with all the force of a rolling tidal wave. Blood warriors and liberators alike were crushed and swiped from its path, their armor no defense against the writhing nest of bone tentacles. Its mighty claws swung like jackhammers, gouging long trails in the earth before flinging the debris high. Ionis saw the drooling madness in its bestial face, and knew then that it had been flayed to within a hair's breadth of destruction. It would recognize neither friend nor foe, but would destroy all in its path until the furnace of its existence was ended forever. The retributors about him immediately threw themselves towards it, all of them heedless of the danger, and determined to bring their grand hammers to bear.
"Leave it!" cried Ionis,
knowing that the creature was beyond their ability to kill. But he was too slow to prevent the clash. 20 retributors placed themselves in the beast's path and were swept aside. Many of them managed to strike it, breaking open huge wounds in the Leviathan's flanks, but nothing halted its rampage. One lone warrior held his ground before it, smashing the face of his lightning hammer into the Korgoroth's blood-streaked maw. The beast backhanded him with a flailing arm, sending the huge gold-armored knight careering back into the following ranks of blood warriors.
"Withdraw!"
cried Ionis, wrathful now.
"The beast is mine!"
He swept to the forefront, blocking any more of the retributors from taking the monster on. The Korgoroth locked its red eyes on him and thundered in close, lowering its massive head like a bull on the gallop. Its force was almost unstoppable, a living mountain of muscle and sinew, all allied to a soul of fire. Even the Cryptborn, with all his mastery of the laws of life and death, felt a beat of doubt as he saw the Colossus bearing down on him.
"Shaiish!"
he cried, thrusting his staff before him and bracing for impact. The Korgoroth crashed into a summoned wall of pale grey energy, and its blood-red body instantly changed colour, whitening like embers after the fire's death. Its headlong charge lurched to a halt, and it skidded to one side, dropping its enormous shoulder as its legs gave way. Ionis remained steadfast, pouring on more of the deathly soul-sapping magic. The Korgoroth writhed amid the clutching strands of grey, its mighty heart hammering, its jaws clenched open in agony. It reached out with a claw, determined to strike at the source of its pain, but Ionis sidestepped the blow. His reliquary blazed with a frigid flame, and the beast of Khorne crumbled to the dust, its brutal spirit spent. As the Korgoroth expired before him, Ionis at last released the spell, and clutched the staff for support, his head light. Summoning up such force with so little preparation had almost ended him. The retributors surged onwards, fanning around him to press the advantage. Before them lay a long path of ruin, the channel, gouged by the Korgoroth's devastating run, strewn with the bodies of both Eternals and Blood Warriors. It was only then, just as the dust was settling and troops on both sides were able to recover, that Ionis saw what purpose the charge had served. Standing amid the detritus was a skull-masked lord, one who bore a huge axe one-handed. He held a demon hound on an iron leash. He smiled coldly and strode towards the Cryptborn at the head of a phalanx of plate-armored guards.
"Your task was to die," the warlord told him, coming closer with every ponderous stride. "I loose this beast to drive a road towards my prey. And yet you remain to bar the way."
As soon as he saw the axe flickering with baleful energies, Ionis knew he was outmatched. Even had he not released the death essence to fell the Korgoroth, the contest would still have been beyond him. He pulled himself up to his full height, kindling new ghoulish light above the crown of the reliquary.
"You do not know what it is to die,"
Ionis said dryly, preparing for the clash. All around him, his retributors charged once more into battle, aiming to take the warlord out of the contest. They were met by the lord's bodyguard, and the two flanks of warriors clashed together, neither side able to reach the other's master.
"Your kind is not of this world," said the warlord, his cruel voice more intrigued than angry. "At least, not all of you are."
"All worlds are the realm of Sigmar,"
Ionis replied, happy to keep talking for as long as possible. It gave him time to recover.
"When we are done with them, your kind will be but a foul memory."
The warlord nodded slowly, as if he approved of the sentiment.
"But you are different,"
he mused, still holding back from the charge, though his hound pulled at the chain.
"You say Sigmar, but it does not mean the same as when the others chant his name. What are you, I wonder? What path has led you to fight alongside these lesser souls?"
Ionis smiled beneath his death mask. If things had been different, he might have been pleased to recount the tale. He would have told of the debt he owed the God King, and the ancient curse that his choice had made him subject to. He would have told of Nagash, the deity who slumbered still but would be sure to come for him when the toll of years was complete. He might have said that yes, he was different, and that he was the Lord Relictor of the Stormhost, privy to secrets that not even the Hammerhand had been made a party to, and that every road ahead of him was dark and filled with pain, whatever the outcome of this battle. In the event, he merely leaned on his staff, drawing what strength from it he could, and gave the warlord a grim salute.
"I know your purpose," Ionis told him. "With what power I have, I will prevent you."
At that, the enemy warlord laughed out loud.
"I care nothing for you, Deathlord," he said,
loosing the hound's collar.
"But you stand between me and my prey, and thus your time draws to its close."
The hellhound pounced, leaping for the cryptborn's throat. Ionis swatted it aside with a blast from his reliquary, but by then the warlord had swept into contact. Kuhl brought his axe down, aiming to shatter Ionis's pauldron, but the cryptborn shrank back, blocking the strike with the reliquary's staff. The impact was crushing, forcing him down to his knees. Ionis pushed back, but his strength ran from him like water from a broken jar.
"Should you live, be sure to seek me out when all is over,"
whispered Kuhl, pressing down savagely.
"There is room in my ranks for one such as you."
Then he suddenly released the pressure. Ionis tried to rise, to slam his staff into the warlord's chest, but the movement had only been made in order to clear space for another strike. Kuhl, snapping his arms around, swept his axe crossways, catching the rising Ionis square in the throat. The blade clanged into the cryptborn's gorget, and he was ripped from his feet and thrown through the air. As he tumbled through the dust, his vision going black and his senses deserting him, Ionis loosed a final flurry of storm spirits, aiming to suck the life from the warlord, just as he had done with his lesser warriors. Grizzlemore, though, was in their path. The demon hound snatched the spirits from the air and ripped them from reality with a shake of his neck. Ionis felt their deaths as an icy spike through his heart, and his last strength gave out. His golden helm struck the ground, and his hand slipped free of the reliquary's staff. Kuhl walked towards him idly, hoisting the axe high and preparing to use it, when a lone voice cut through the battling warriors around them.
"No further!"
Kuhl turned, and a broad smile creased across his bony jawline. Grizzlemore growled and raised his hackles, but the warlord merely prepared himself, bracing the axe across his body and planting his feet firmly for the onslaught.
"Then all is accomplished," he said,
his deep voice resonant with pleasure.
"You face me at last, and thus my final trophy finds its home."
Setting eyes on Kuhl at last, Vandus felt a surge of old emotions. His Drakoth roared, desperate to strike, and the demon hound did likewise. In every direction, liberators, retributors, and blood warriors remained locked in mortal combat, a sweep of violence that ran from the gate's edge to the mouth of the valley beyond. Everything was in motion. Everything was poised. And yet, he could not move. The Warlord of Chaos stood before him, just as he had been in the other age. He had grown in stature since then, and there were more skulls hanging from his iron belt, but the crimson helm and the black-toothed mouth were the same, as was the crackling axe blade at his side that had laid whole kingdoms low. For the first time since setting foot in Akshi, Vandus felt his twin lives truly blur. He was the Lord Celestant, bringer of Sigmar's wrath. He was the chief of the Diabrands, doomed to die before the blades of the Gortide. Kuhl fixed him with his dark eyes, and amusement twitched across his exposed mouth.
"The one who ran," he said. "That is what they named you in the later years. They cursed that name, even as I killed them."
Those words hit home. Vandus remembered how it had been. The howl of anguish, the pleading to be sent back. Every soul he had pledged to protect had died that night, bereft of the warhammer that would have been wielded in their defense.
"This realm is now taken from you," Vandus said, holding the Drakoth back, loath to launch the attack that he had been created to make. "The gate is secured. You have no purpose here but to die at my hand."
Kuhl remained smiling. The flickers of blood-red fire raced across the edge of his axe blade.
"No purpose? You are my purpose, Diabrand. You are the culmination of my great quest. And when your age-bleached bones are placed atop the pyre of corn, then all these realms will be mine."
The voice was so terrifyingly familiar. Vandus remembered the raw fear, how he had forced himself to fight through it. All mortals were subject to that fear. Kuhl was a creature of a maddened pantheon, a mere cipher for their limitless malice. The stuff of chaos leaked out from his every pore, and though he was already less than a man, it would take but a fraction more power to make him far greater than a demon.
"The God King foresaw this day," replied Vandus. His voice was as steady as his weapon arm, but it belied the turmoil within. He spoke to remind himself as much as he did to challenge his old adversary.
"You laughed then, but your defeat was already ordained."
"Laughed!" roared Kuhl, outraged. "Gods of ruin, boy, I was enraged! I laid a dozen kingdoms in ashes, and still my thirst was not slaked."
But he was laughing truly now, his eyes shining with a raw exuberance.
"Oh, if I had known that you would return, that the only one of my enemies who had ever escaped me would come back to me, I would have spared them so much pain."
He fixed Vandus with a sardonic look, utterly unafraid, drenched in the strutting confidence he had always displayed before the kill.
"They died because you left them, Diabrand. That is the truth of it. And you know it in whatever heart your God-King has given you."
Boy. That was what the Warlord had called him just before the lightning had come. In truth, he must have been little more than a child then, bearing weapons forged from crude metal and defending collections of hovels barely capable of standing in a gale. Now, he was the first of the legions of Azir, gifted power beyond mortal reckoning, and still the word boy cut him to his soul.
Vandus Vendel. That was enough.
He released his hold over the Drakoth and took up his warhammer as the creature powered into the charge. At the same moment, the demon hound pounced, joined by its master in the race to combat. Kuhl leapt high, striving to reach Vandus and launching a great circuit of his axe. Vandus parried, and the two weapons clanged from one another, sending a shockwave blazing out from the impact. As the two warriors spun apart, the Drakoth took on the demon hound, and together the two beasts fell into a snarling, snapping brawl. Kuhl swept back in close, thrusting his blade at Vandus's body, and this time the collision nearly wrenched Heldensen from his grip.
"Your gifts have not made you stronger," said Kuhl mockingly. "You are weak then. You are weaker now."
Vandus swung the hammerhead across, generating huge momentum, but the blow rebounded from Kuhl's counterstrike, and the fires along its ensorcelled length guttered out. His Drakoth was holding its own against Grizzlemore, but nothing seemed to harm the Lord of Khorne. They traded more swipes, denting and cracking the armor they both wore, and neither broke through to give the decisive wound. The wider battle raged about them, though no warrior dared to intervene in their lord's duel, locked as they were in deadly struggles of their own. Kuhl changed tack then, falling back by a stride's length. The Drakoth sensed the retreat and thrust after him, trying to seize him by the neck. Grizzlemore leapt for the creature's scaled shoulder and lodged fast, driving its yellow teeth into the flesh. The Drakoth reared, wrenching itself from the demon hound's grip, giving Kuhl his opening as Vandus struggled to control his mount. The warlord's axe found a way through, biting deep along Vandus's armored thigh, and the Lord Celestant cried aloud. The blood warriors in earshot roared with scorn as they heard the sound, and the liberators felt a shard of doubt enter their souls. The duel had become the locus around which the entire battle revolved. With no breakthrough from either army, it had come down to the survival of the lords that led them. Kuhl sprang back, evading Vandus's vengeful strike, panting hard. For all his mastery, he too had taken heavy damage, and his strength, though immense, was not infinite.
"Will you be taken from me again, I wonder?" mused Kuhl, circling the Drakoth, keeping his axe edge high. "At the moment when I hold your life in my hands, will your God-King pull you from peril as he did before?"
Vandus barely heard the words. Everything he had done since his reforging now hung on this moment. He had been sent to Akshi to slay the warlords who ruled it. And now, with the storm of Sigmar's wrath circling above him, he was still holding back. His power felt blunted, incomplete. Every time he aimed Heldensen at his adversary, his aim lacked the sharpness it had possessed in 100 other duels. The Drakoth was undeterred and lashed out fiercely at the hound. The two beasts were bleeding freely now, their jaws a mess of torn flesh. Kuhl prowled back for the next strike, his dark outline radiating a casual lethality.
"Why even return?" the warlord asked. "Can you not see it? There is nothing left. You should have kept the gate closed. We will come hunting for you now, just as you have done for us."
The taunt had been designed to enrage him, to place the fear in him that Azir too might be at peril. But Vandus did not linger on those words. The ones that resonated with him were the others. "There is nothing left." And then he understood. His grief had risen when he had seen what he was fighting for. The fire-scarred wastes, the old ruins. That was not what he had once striven to protect. He had breathed the realm's parched air and smelled its charred bones, and his mighty heart had sunk. Even now an aspect of him was lodged in that other world, the place in which all his old loves had dwelt. He had been a part of that, and in the long years of preparation, a part of him had hoped something would be left to retrieve, some survivors, some mark of the old civilization. When it was clear that the past was lost, that hope had dissolved. He could not fight for the Akshi of the present as he might have done for the Akshi of the past. And therein lay his fault. He had let his old self swim up to the surface, for the grief was not his, It was Vendel's. Vandus had not been sent to restore the realm of the past. He had been sent to create the realm of the future. Heldensen roared into flame once more. The sign of the comet emblazoned on his armor burst out with a pure light, reflecting the hidden glory of the celestial realm. Vandus pulled the Drakoth's head around, driving it hard at the waiting figure of Khorgos Khul. The warlord gave no sign he had detected the change, and raced to rejoin battle. Their weapons smashed into one another once again, but this time it was the axe that rebounded, its fires wavering. Vandus flung down another blow, knocking Khul back and sending him staggering. Vandus spoke no words, for his fury was now enough. Khul recovered himself, his laughter gone. In 1,000 years, he had never been bested, and he surged back into contact, his blade whirling about him in tighter circles. Vandus angled his hammer down, aiming to catch the axe head in mid-flight. As he did so, his Drakoth missed its aim, freeing Grizzlemore to strike. The demon hound leapt clear of Vandus's steed, its jaws agape. At the last moment, Vandus wrenched Heldensen to block it, and Grizzlemore's teeth clamped onto the golden hammerhead. That left him exposed, and Khul was there to take advantage. The Lord of Khorne sent a vicious swipe, whistling for Vandus's unguarded neck, crying out with triumph as the killing blows swept in. There was no evading that strike, for Khul had poured all his long, festering hatred into it, and it was unleashed with an infinite outpouring of his seasoned malice.
For the blood god!
But Khul's cry of triumph was cut short. The Lord Celestin's outline blazed with azure fire, and he wrenched the hammerhead from Grizzlemore's jaws. Khul's axe head cut through the haze of crackling lightning, but connected with the lightning-crowned metal. The two weapons clashed again, each one propelled by the entirety of their bearer's strength. With a thunderous crash, the full power of the storm was unlocked, and this time it was Khul who was thrown back. His armor still incandescent with shimmering celestial energies, Vandus pressed the attack, and Heldensen smashed through Khul's hurried guard, knocking the cursed iron aside. Another hammer blow flew in, angled back, flinging Khul's blade from his hand and hurling it end over end into the horde beyond. For the first time, the warlord's eyes betrayed fear. He could see the prize slipping away from him, eluding his grasp just as it had done before. He snarled and leapt straight for Vandus, talons outstretched, going for his neck. Vandus was too fast, though, and Heldensen hurtled around, catching the oncoming warlord full in the chest. The lightning-wreathed head cracked the crimson armor open, and Khul was sent tumbling away, the first roar of true pain leaving his bloodied lips. The Drakoth pounced, going after Grizzlemore and digging the talons in deep. Vandus pushed clear of the saddle, joining the assault on the demon hound. He waded in close, waiting for the coiled spring, and caught the beast in mid-jump. Grizzlemore was immune to the sacred fire burning along Heldensen's shaft, but was as subject to the indomitable strength of Sigmarite as any mortal creature. The heavy hammerhead crunched into its ribcage, driving in the bones and tossing the broken-backed hound aside. Then Vandus turned back to Khul. The warlord had been thrown back many yards, hurled into the heart of his own warriors, crushing many of them beneath his armored bulk. Khul stayed prone, his weapon gone and the fires of Khorne extinguished. Vandus went after him, his hammer now light in his grasp. The moment had come, and there was no doubt remaining. The Akshi of old had been destroyed, and the ruined butcher before him was just one small facet of that tortured past. With his death, the new age could begin. The age of renewal.
Nothing remains, Vandus said, his voice cold.
Khul stared up at him, bleary-eyed, half-comprehending.
Aye.
Nothing remains. Not of this place, and not of the man I once was. You should not have come back to face me, warlord. For all things have changed.
Vandus Hammerhand drew Heldensen back then, poised to deliver the strike that would end his ancient tormentor. Khul snarled, his throat catching with bubbles of blood, and something kindled under the shadow of his helm, a fell light, igniting like stirring embers. Vandus met that gaze and was instantly caught. Visions thrust into his mind as clear as shafts of fire. He saw 8 towers, each bridging the void between the burning horizon and the storm-cracked sky. Between those towers he saw another gate, a vast remnant of ensorcelled stone and iron, shackled with mighty chains and wreathed in blood-red immolation. And yet this one led not to the glory of the God-King's realm, but to the depths of madness beyond all mortal reckoning. Under its lintel seethed a gaping wound in reality, one through which unbounded malice bled into the worlds of the living. Under the shadow of that gate stood the Pyramid of Skulls, the one Kuhl had boasted of. In those shuddering visions, the warlord lived and climbed to the summit, his progress lit by the baleful glow of the open gate. Kuhl carried a lone burden in his exposed claw, a severed head, still glistening with flesh. Vandus reeled, just for a moment, consumed by the vision before him. He recognized the features on what remained of that face, and it chilled him to his soul. Below him, Kuhl let a smile flicker across his bruised mouth.
"For the Black God!"
came a frenzied cry, cutting through the tumult. The spell of the vision broke, and Vandus's gaze snapped up. The words were not the warlord's. The whip-wielder had returned, driving a fresh phalanx of blood warriors and blood reavers before him. The newcomers crashed into the battling lines, scattering the vanguard of liberators and pushing them back deep into their own ranks. Vandus alone stood firm, recovering himself and smashing aside the blood warriors that slammed into him. He slew swiftly, his hammer scything, but hundreds swarmed at him, driven by the merciless goad in their midst. Vandus's Drakoth reared up, tearing and ripping its way to his side, and the two of them were reunited amid a swirling sea of foes, each fighting furiously just to stay on their feet and not get dragged under the bow wave of the assault.
"For the God King!"
Vandus cried, remounting, even as he shattered the skulls of those trying to haul him down. They were pushed back towards the gate, where they were joined by liberators fighting back after the shock of the charge. The crush intensified, and the fighting rose to an apex of desperate brutality. There was no room for art, no space for finesse. Celestial resolve was pitted against a riptide of mindlessness, and the hammers of Sigmar fought back then as savagely and as piteously as those they faced. Caught in the centre of it all, driven westward by fighting hard, Vandus caught a last glimpse of Kuhl, trampled by his own kind, lost under the rampage of iron-shod boots. It was impossible to tell whether he lived or died, but he was soon beyond all hope of reaching. Freed of his baleful presence, though, Vandus felt a sudden lifting of the dread that had hung in their air since the warlord's arrival. The tenor of the storm itself changed, and all across the battlefield, the Eternals sensed it. A great shout, issued from thousands of immortal lips, rose up into the maelstrom-driven air.
"Sigmar!"
The great battle chant resounded across the face of Akshi for the first time in mortal memory. The gate remained open, and more Eternals were coming through the portal with every passing moment. The Drakoth swept its serpentine head from side to side, gouging out the throats of all within range. The storm host regained its shape, responding to the onslaught as they had been trained to. The final charge had been vicious, but even the champions of the Horde, those steeped deepest in battle rage, could see that with Kuhl's defeat, the night was already lost. Akshi's marred sun would rise soon, casting red light over a new landscape of gold and cobalt. Vandus raised his warhammer aloft, and it blazed with the unbound splendor of the lightning's heart.
"Azir!"
he cried.
"For the God King!"
And as one, the hammers of Sigmar took up the shout, surging back at the enemy with the light of the celestial realm burning in their eyes.